As work structures change and jobs disappear, it can be difficult finding stability in our modern world. But one skill set has been consistently in demand in recent years: creativity. Creativity, innovation, and artistry are in high demand lately in order to prepare various industries for the future of work. So how are employees and employers preparing for the innovation future? Joining us this morning to explain the future of creativity in the job market is Professor Esther Anatolitis, Honorary Associate Professor of the School of Arts from RMIT University. Hello, Esther. Thanks for being here with us in this early morning.
Hello. Great to be with you.
So great to have you here. Esther, to start with, how are we defining creativity?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, there's people who have been, you know, kind of studying it and doing it and being artists for a long, long time who would have a lot of trouble putting it into words.
Right.
I think it's a number of different things. It's the ability to think in a non-linear, unexpected, out-of-the-box kind of way. And so, you know, in design, for example, in design thinking, you'd think about using materials in different ways, coming up with unexpected solutions, you know, non-linear kind of thinking. In artistic contexts, you probably think of compositional thinking that brings things together in different ways, but also that can experiment, that can, you know, really kind of take unexpected twists and turns. But then if we think about its application in science, it would, yeah, also be about having that kind of agility of thinking to really kind of look beyond how things have been done before, and have a different kind of approach to things, that means that you're open to different kinds of thinking, to the unexpected.
Right, cool. So why exactly has creativity recently been called the number one skill set in the world?
It's a funny one, that one. It comes from some of the big kind of, you know, banks and consultancies and so on. And on the one hand, it kind of sounds a little bit like marketing spin. You know, we want to employ people who are cool, who think outside the box, you know, that sort of thing. But then it's also about, you know, the world, you know, we've got, like, things are a little bit shit at the moment. We've kind of got into situations politically, environmentally, by doing things in the same way, by managing workplaces in the same ways, by making decisions, having boards and governance structures and government structures that do things in the same ways, and then kind of get surprised that, oh, we can't, you know, politically handle decisions around how to cope through a pandemic, or we can't think about ways to, you know, really confidently, adventurously get through the climate crisis, or how to make sure that we've got policy and funding for arts and culture that supports the most creative, adventurous voices. So we really do need, from, you know, the most straightforward workplaces up, to be encouraging ways of thinking very, very differently and discouraging the kind of staid conservative groupthink which has got the world into its various crises.
Right. So what kind of future does the job market look like, or what kind of future do workplaces look like with this greater emphasis on creative work?
Well, that's a really difficult one, because it's, you know, if we're encouraging people to work creatively, if they work in, you know, the finance sector or superannuation or in the health sector, then we need to make sure that people have got, for example, first of all, a solid foundation with really great entitlements and good pay and, you know, all the, you know, so talk a lot about workplace flexibility, but often flexibility is a, you know, a bit of a byword for, oh, let's think about like some different way to exploit you and give you less job security and more precarity. So those foundations have to be there. Secondly, we need employers, so people at the other end, who actually have got some understanding of fostering creativity and don't feel threatened or, you know, kind of potentially undermined if their colleagues, if their staff propose different ways of doing the same thing. So you need a workplace culture that welcomes critical thinking and critical approaches and things that might contradict the way that things have been done before. And then when it comes to the way that artists work, we need a whole range of different workplaces to be really confident about employing creative people, whether it's making sure that artists are engaged well actually in the creative industries, but also well beyond. So we need workplaces that kind of go, okay, well, we want to do things better. We're not going to be, you know, completely put off and freaked out if someone suggests something different. We're going to create good, secure working conditions, and we're going to champion the most creative voices.
Right, yeah. It's, I mean, can be a bit scary doing things outside the box, but they might be necessary.
Exactly.
And how exactly are, or where are we getting the creative skills from? Is this a big emphasis in school at the moment, or are there places people are going specifically to learn how to be creative?
Well, at the moment, if we look at arts programs, whether it's school curricula in particular at universities and art schools across Australia, there is also a bit of a crisis there. So during the pandemic, but also before, there's been really, really quite concerning underinvestment in arts education, and a lot of art schools closed down during the pandemic, be they theatre schools, visual arts, you know, departments in universities, visual arts, ceramics, that sort of thing. And that was partly because the previous federal government made the deliberate decision to not support universities through the pandemic. So universities were not allowed to claim JobKeeper or the cash flow boost, and also local governments weren't allowed to either. And universities and local governments are Australia's biggest owners, managers of galleries, art museums, theatres, you know, they're massive employers of artists and arts workers. So what we need to see is a substantial reinvestment in the ways that people are taught both artistic and creative skills, but also the ways to be creative. And art schools don't just teach future artists, they teach future creative leaders and future teachers of creative thinking and creative skills. So creative education needs to be in that really wonderfully open, experimental kind of platform that allows not just teachers to be creative, but also students, whether they're, you know, future artists, designers, architects, that really gives them the space and the scope to test ideas and thinking and really kind of boldly imagine what a future looks like.
Oh, brilliant. Esther, that is all the time we've got, but thank you so much for putting that so succinctly about the importance of creativity.
Great to talk to you.
No worries. Thank you so much for joining us today. That was Esther Anatolitis, Honorary Associate Professor at the School of Art at RMIT University, talking about the role of creativity in the future of the job market.